May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Ezekiel is having a prophetic moment with the Lord. And then he begins to see the presence of the Lord manifesting, coming. He said, I looked and behold, a storm wind was coming from the north, and a great cloud with fire flashing forth continually, and a bright light around it. And in its midst, something like glowing metal in the midst of the fire. And as we, if you go read through this, it's the presence of God and the Holy Spirit and angelic activity. But often, the presence of the Lord is described that way. And it's not a coincidence that the many times, even on Mount Zion, as they would see the thunder and the lightning and the smoke, it was in anticipation of Moses approaching him. In Revelation chapter 4, in anticipation of the doors being open and John being invited into his presence. And so this does represent a characteristic of God's passion. There's nothing half-hearted or passive about the Lord. But it's like that, Zechariah talks about that, God being stirred up because Zechariah was speaking to him, asking him questions. He says he was aroused from this place of rest. And I do believe that the storm describes an aspect of God's love for us. There's just a storm in God's heart for us. And not storm in the bad sense of the word, but just his passion and his love for us, this vehement fire that he carries in his heart for humanity. This is described as a storm. There's a place in the Song of Solomon, for those of you who've been around for a while, in chapter 6, where it says that it has a picture of the bride gazing on him, and he asked the bride to turn her eyes away because her gaze was causing a violent storm in his heart. And again, that's just poetic language just to say that his love for us isn't placid, not just benevolent. That God's heart is like a storm. And what God's hoping is that that becomes contagious. Everything always starts with the Lord. And that his storm for us, the storm that's in him for us, causes our hearts to be ignited, to be like a stormy thing for him. There shouldn't be anything passive or indifferent or boring about a believer's walk. Scripture says that we love because he first loved us, and in capturing, being impacted by the storm in God's heart that causes a storm in our heart, then our life becomes one of passion too. And his presence becomes a source of fullness of joy, it says in the Psalms, and pleasures forevermore. When I think about that, I think about how I believe it's that storm. Jesus has come conquering and to conquer. It says that he's the great and original overcomer. And I've said something the last couple of weeks, and what I said was is that the 2 feet that we have spiritually to walk out the kingdom of God, to explore all that the kingdom of God is, to explore the limitlessness of God's grace, is the 1 foot of surrender and the 1 foot of faith. But it's love that makes it easy. And what I mean by that is, it says that God's love for us, he's an all-consuming fire. And that all-consuming fire, the storm in God's heart that gets built in our own hearts in response to that, in light of that, often you'll see Ezekiel again, and also this 93-year-old John in Revelation, in God's presence, they just fall down like dead men before them. It causes upheaval, good upheaval, in their hearts. And I believe the storm of God's love is constantly jarring us free, breaking us free from stubbornness and rebellion, constantly setting us free from unbelief. It just doesn't let things settle down. There's a place, I think it's Zephaniah, that talks about that we can become stagnant in our spirit. But it's the love of Christ that keeps us from becoming stagnant in our spirit. And there's a scripture. This is like 5 or 6 words all wrapped up in one little short word. But I was just reminded again of this scripture. Sort of amazing word. If I can find it, one chapter over. But in all these things, we are overwhelmingly conquerors through him who loves us. For I'm convinced, that's a real key word. The first key phrase is that he loves us. Therefore, we're overwhelming conquerors. But on our part, it's I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depth, nor any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so if nothing that you do, devil does, Satan does, world does, president does, anything anybody else does, any politician does, can separate you from the love of Christ, therefore, your perpetual condition is being an overwhelming conqueror because he continues to love us. You see, it says in Romans chapter 12, by the mercies of God, in light of the love of God for you that he's been explaining in those first 11 chapters, in light of God's love for you, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Holiness's foundation is the love of God for us. Holiness is what prompts us and ignites us to not stay in rebellion and stubbornness, but again, makes it easy to surrender. It says in Galatians 5:6, faith works through what? Love. And so it's love of God that prompts us and pushes us beyond. It's the storm of God's love for us that propels us beyond unbelief. But here's the thing that I like about this scripture, and I just thought about, there's so much, again, endlessly we'll discover this stuff. God's great unconditional love for us, his furious love for us. And that is this, is that when we fail, our tendency is that we can't really walk in faith. Now, I'm not talking about people who just rip God off, people who just mock him. They blow it without any intentions of being really repentant. There's no real heart of surrender. Doesn't mean that you'll be perfect from that point forward, but God judges our heart. He knows the sincerity of our heart. So we're not just going through the motions with a formula. We really want to walk in freedom. We want to walk in the freedom he's purchased for us. And so God understands a really truly repentant heart that's confessing their stuff. But what I've noticed is that when we blow it, it takes a little season. It could be days, it could even be a week or more, before we feel good enough about ourselves to really start walking in faith again, and that somehow God counts our surrender as sincere. And that's a real act of thievery from the enemy. Do you understand what I'm talking about? It's kind of like once you've blown it, especially if you've blown it many times in the same way, and you've truly repented and confessed, then you have to kind of like prove over where you just kind of finally slot into that slot where you really can walk in faith again. But you see, what we don't understand is that it's irrelevant how you feel about yourself. Only relevant thing is how does he feel about you? And your right to walk in faith and to believe that you're loving him back through your surrender is based on, does he love you? It's the love of Christ that causes us to be overwhelming conquerors. Not how good you feel about yourself. Again, God knows if your repentance was sincere. You with me? But we wait to feel it. But the truth is, he says, nothing that we do or that happens around us can separate us from the love of Christ. And if you are finally convinced of his love for you, that nothing can separate you from that love, and you've blown it for the 50,000th time in the same area, but you're truly fighting the good fight of faith, you really want to walk in freedom, then from the moment you've confessed, you can come out of that and ignore your feelings and live convinced faith works through love. You can walk and be convinced that you're living under his favor again. You with me? Yeah. If you find somebody who just wants to sin and they don't care, then that's a different story. But my discovery has been most people, they really want to walk it out. They may not even know how to walk it out in freedom. And so you know why God says practice righteousness. You know what practice means? You ever see anybody practice gymnastics? They just keep doing it wrong until they finally get it right. But there's the love of God there to try again and again and again. And if I don't say anything else today that you can hear, it's not about how you feel about you. It's what do you believe he feels about you. That his storm in his heart never went away for you. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.